You can go out here and do your thing 24/7, and it ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. But if you take one word that Jesus said and just do it, by faith, just walk out there and do it. Come to his house. See, what if Jack had not been here? It's still, the check is going to find you, Jack. But what about that anointing, the people hugging you? See, that was God personally, each one of you giving him that strength, the encouragement, the hope. Now, you can get that by radio, by tape, but it's a whole lot better to be here. Amen? Amen. See, we're not looking if you're not here, but Jesus is here all the time. When you walk out of here, he's on the inside of you. He'll give you a hug anytime you need a hug.
Amen.
But you can't replace that corporate anointing. He said, don't forsake yourself assembling together here. That's why, because we're family. And you know, when you gather for Thanksgiving and Christmas, if some of your family's not there, you're missing them. That's the same thing here. We miss you. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to harass you if you're not here. But we love you, and we want you here. Amen?
Amen.
God wants you here. Thank you, Father. We're probably not going to finish this today, but I mentioned to you last Sunday and what we've been studying, spirit, soul, and body, and then what we've learned as Christians. And I've heard Pastor Lewis say this a lot. He says sometimes when you're preaching, he might sound, his body, you might think that he's angry at you, the flesh. He says, but he'll say on the tape, look up here and say you love me. Because see, sometimes, all the time as ministers, we got to minister for what the Lord says. And a lot of times your flesh ain't going to want to hear it. And my flesh don't want to hear it sometimes, but that, I had to crucify it every day. Amen. When you decide you want to serve the Lord and in the fivefold ministry, you got to have tough skin and not get offended, because you just got to say what God says. I'm saying all that to say religion wants to keep you in bondage. A relationship with Jesus Christ will set you free. And we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God. And what I want you to do, we're all at different levels. We came from different backgrounds, different denominations. Well, I want you just, I'm not saying forget about it, but I want you to have an open heart. Open heart, not open head. See, because what gets in your head comes from your heart. So if it got wrong in your heart, it's wrong in your head. Can I say that and still love everybody? You still love me? Because I had to take some things and I had to run it through the filter of my heart, which is the Word of God. And you might be some traditions. Your grandma, your grandma's grandma, your family members might have taught you something that might not have been exactly what Jesus said.
That's right.
And if you want to experience the life that Jesus came to give us, we've got to do what he says and believe what he says. And he said, if you believe it, you'll do it. If you're my disciples follow me wherever I go. Wherever I go. Amen. So we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God. And I'm not saying, I'm confessing to you, I don't know it all. But I've learned some things I know is not right. Amen. And I ain't got to hit my finger with a hammer too many times to know that hurt.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, that hurt. God doesn't want us to be hurt, wounded, poor Christians. That's not what he came to do. He came to set those that were at liberty, those who were captives, set them free.
Amen.
Set the captives free. But we're going to be talking about the sovereignty of God. Now, give me some grace as we go through this, because I'm going to say some things, but then we're going to go on deeper in it. And know that God is sovereign. There is no other God above him. He is the God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that's in it. That includes me and you and all the angels. He is God. But I believe this is one of the worst teachings that has crept in through the church. And I don't know how long it's kept in, but I can remember coming up different. You hear some things, and somebody said, that's the Word of God. Well, I've come to find out that was the Word of God, but it wasn't rightly divided. Amen? You got to rightly divide this Word between Old Testament and New Testament.
Amen.
And there's a lot of things that, you know, school helps. I thank God for being able to go to school, but the Holy Ghost is your teacher.
Yes.
He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God in the believer.
Yes.
And he's the agent in the earth. He's the person in the earth that's still here. Because Jesus said, I'm never going to leave you.
Amen.
And that means Jesus physically in his body had to leave. But he said, I'm going to never leave you. He sent another gift. A gift from the Father that was promised on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
I know this might be a little shocking. It might shake you to the core a little bit, but that's okay. If your apple needs to go off the tree, get it off the tree and let a new one grow up. Why are you talking about apples? Because I just mowed over a bunch of them yesterday off my tree that nobody picked up. Rotten, stinking, rotten apples. Now, if it's a bad apple, let it fall off the tree. Amen? Because Jesus said, if it ain't from him, you might as well cut it off. Right? But the way sovereignty has been taught and is being taught in different churches, and I'm not looking at churches, I'm just going to preach the word. Because we're not against churches, we're for the body of Christ. But what's been taught today is a faith killer, if it's not taught right, the sovereignty of God. The belief that God controls everything and everything that happens to us is one of the devil's biggest inroads into our lives. In other words, everything that's happening is from God. That is a deception. If this belief is true, that everything that happens is God, he's sovereign, and we can't change it. If that's true, then what we do is irrelevant. We might as well just sit here in church and just, whatever's going to happen. If anybody's going to sing, they're going to sing, because if it's God's will, that's not sovereignty in the Bible, in God's word. Because then our actions and our efforts are meaningless. Now, I went through some school and there's some teachings. There's Calvinism. It was wrong teaching, I'll say that. In other words, you can't get saved unless God has predestined you to be saved. No matter what you do, you can't get saved. That's wrong. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. See, that's a wrong teaching. So if that's kind of crept up through your tradition, through your family, and through your denomination, there's going to be some bad stuff. So it's okay, throw out the bad stuff, but keep the good stuff. And Jesus never gives you no bad stuff. Amen. Nothing is out of date. You might have to, now Gary said this a few times, you might have to set some things on the shelf. That doesn't mean you get set on the shelf. If you haven't heard that, then you might have to just lay that there and stay in the Word, and then the light bulb will come on. That's what Pastor was talking about. Then you can take that off the shelf, because you're going to need to put something up there eventually on down the road, because God is the one that gives you the understanding. I'm going to minister to you, but the Holy Spirit gives you the understanding. And when you seek him a hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be filled. So that means when you start getting filled, let the old stuff come out, let the new stuff come in, being filled. Yes. Amen? Because I learn things from this pulpit as I'm preaching, because it's not me, but Christ in me. I say things that I have to go back and listen to. Yes. I'm like, praise God, I like that. I need to hear it again. I need to buy the tape. So if that was our thinking, if everything that happened was God, so nothing we could do would matter, what would be in it for us? God's the creator. We surely can't fight against God. It would be useless. But if we believe that God wills everything, good and bad, to happen to us, it gives us temporary relief. Now, this is wrong, but it gives us that temporary relief from confusion and condemnation. But in the long term, it's a slander to the Lord. It's a slap in the face to Jesus, because it can hinder our trust in God, and it can lead to passiveness. That means if everything is God's will, I might as well, I've got to sit through this sickness because he's going to bring some glory out of it. No, that's the devil. He wants you sick and defeated so you won't come to church, so you won't be a witness. So just think, this is illogical. The devil works in the mind. God is that small, still voice. He'll say, that ain't right. Yeah. Get in the Word. It just don't feel right. When I say feel, I'm talking about inside your spirit. So the sovereignty of God, what is it? The word sovereign is not used in the King James Version of the Bible, but it is used 303 times in the Old Testament of the NIV, sovereignty of God. But it always is used in association with the Lord, Jehovah, equivalent to the King James Version of Lord God. Lord God Almighty. That talk about God being sovereign in the King James Version. But not a single time of those times is the word sovereign used in the manner that it has to become used in religion in our day and time. You know, it's written into our insurance policies. Floods, any act of God, tornadoes, destructions, is an act of God. See, we give them mercy and we give them grace, because they don't know what they're saying. Jesus even said that. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we don't judge them. We give them grace, give them mercy. But we know, Father, I'm going to reap the benefits of this thing that happened because I got an insurance policy. I got to go by the law of the land if it's righteous and holy. But I'm not receiving that you, this is coming from you. See, that it gets into your mind. It's into your thinking. Next thing you know, you're saying it. You might not even believe it, but it just comes out of your mouth sometimes because you've heard it so much. Religion has resulted in the invention of a new meaning for the word sovereign, which basically means God controls everything. And I've heard this, and you'll hear it, but today I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because we're not to condemn those people, but we can give them a testimony about, we can invite them to Wednesday night Bible study, to your house maybe, if they're a friend, maybe not here, just whatever the Lord leads you to do. But religion has resulted in the invention of a new meaning for the word sovereign, which basically means God controls everything. He's in control. Now, it's okay to say that if he's controlling you. Come on now. It's okay to say God's in control because, add to it, he's controlling me. Yeah. If you let the word control you, God's controlling you.
Yeah.
That, he's not going to come and make you do anything. But if you let him in your life and let him have control over your life, that's a good thing. But he's not going to control you. He's going to give you a choice. We sung about it. If you think God controls everything and nothing can happen but what he wills or allows, however, there is nothing in the actual definition of that says that. The dictionary defines sovereign as supreme. Don't go to Bojangles. Now y'all thinking about four-piece supreme chicken dinner. Well, if that's sovereign to you. Stick around, we're going to talk about it. Supreme, having superior rank or power, number two. Number three, independent. United States is a sovereign nation. We're independent from Great Britain, from any nation, because we have decided, our founders decided, we believe and trust God, and we're not going to be ruled by a king, we're going to be ruled by King Jesus. And we're going to set up this place and set up constitution and set up things the way God's word intended. That's what, as a nation, we've got to get back to. To be the great nation that God has called us to be. It ain't going to take Trump. Now, God can use Trump, fine, but it's going to take more than Trump. It's going to take believers believing in the Word of God for something to become great. Amen? You can believe in yourself if you believe in Christ in you. You don't want to have self-esteem. You want to have Christ esteem. Independent is a sovereign. It means independent. Number four, sovereign means excellent. And I believe that of God. He is excellent. He is supreme. He is almighty. He's independent of us. He didn't need us to make this, everything that he created. He didn't need us to do that. But he needs us now because he created us.
Yes.
And God doesn't do anything that he doesn't have investment in.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So he's got an investment in you and investing in me. And he's calling it due. He's actually sowing into that investment by giving us words of life. Wisdom and knowledge. For you sowing into Jack's life, you are investing in what Jesus stood for, in his kingdom. And it's an everlasting kingdom. Let me go ahead and say that. Amen. None of these definitions means that God is controlling everything. God has delegated, Jack talked about it, God has delegated his authority. Genesis 1:28. Let's just start at the beginning. Is that okay? Everything's got to start from there. And if you don't believe first three chapters of Genesis, you need to come to church and come to Bible study.
Yes.
You need to get born again. Amen. If you don't believe those first three chapters and the last three chapters of this book, you need to get born again. That's the whole purpose, is getting back into family. Amen. To the family of God.
Yes. Yes.
Genesis 1:28. Good Lord, this is just going to be the introduction to this. That's all right. Genesis 1:28. And I'm going to flip back a page. This is after God created man. Just read verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Right after he made man, he blessed them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. That's what Jack was telling you. God has given you authority. Have dominion. That means authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. There is where God is sovereign, and that everything that he made by his own will and purpose. But we were in that will. He made mankind different from the birds of the air. Everything he created before he created man, now he created the beast in the same day, but he didn't breathe into them the breath of life. He only breathed into Adam. He breathed into him God's breath, God's life. But he created us in his image. That same spirit he put in his man. And then he said, God didn't say, and I'm going to have control over this earth, and I'm going to have control over the birds, and I'm going to have control over you, Adam. No, he didn't say that. He said, and I give you, you have rule over them, domain over them. You do this. And let all those creatures were respect. There was no fear back then in the garden. Deer would come up. Snakes would come up. There was no fear. But God delegated that authority to his son. Amen. He said, now this, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. The heavens and the earth is the Lord's. But to the son of man, to the man, he said, now I'm giving you this earth. Rule over it. Keep it, that means keep it under your authority. Keep it underneath your rule. Let it be everything. The fish, the birds, keep everything in order. So it's assumed that since God is paramount or sovereign or supreme, that nothing can happen without his approval. That's not right. That's not what the scriptures teach. It might not have been what your pastor preached, but if he preached something that's not right or didn't tell you the whole truth, love him, but say, I can't receive that. Don't operate in that. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. 2 Peter 3:9. You believe Peter heard from God? You believe Peter was full of the Holy Ghost and power?
Yes.
I do too. But before he got filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody help me. I think he cussed that he didn't know Jesus three times. Your flesh will do whatever your flesh will do, deny Jesus if you're not born again and saved. You'll do some bad things. But did Jesus give up on Peter?
No.
No, sir. I cussed God. I took God's name in vain before I got born again. Jesus still died on that cross for me. Still loved me regardless. He seen me giving my life to him one day, but he didn't force himself upon me. But he never turned away from me. He waited and patiently on me, like a parent waits on its child to do what God's called them to do. Everything we put in that child, you're waiting patiently for them to become into that manhood or womanhood and start believing by God by faith, just like we got to do. And they got to believe in salvation just like we do,
yes,
by faith. 2 Peter 3:9, I didn't get there. I'm close. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He has promised. Not mama's promise. Not Susie's promise. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Now this is God's will. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but does that mean there's people out there perishing? Going to hell. Seconds, dying, going to hell. But it's not God's will, because according to his word, it's not his will that none perish, but all come to repentance. But if God was sovereign, if it's nothing could happen unless God, you can't get saved unless God wills that you get saved. Well, see, that's a wrong teaching. You've got to make a choice.
Yes.
That you believe Jesus is your Savior. He died for you, bled for you, rose for you, and lives for you. That's how you get born again. But you've got to make that choice to believe.
Amen.
God has given you a free will,
yes,
a free choice when he gave you that sovereignty. And he delegated that authority, his sovereignty, into Adam on this earth. Amen. This clearly states that it is not the Lord's will that any perish, but people are perishing.
Yes.
Jesus said, enter in the gate, the straight gate, the narrow gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction. It's not God's will that the gate be wide, but guess who's increased the territory? Not wasn't God, it's man. Wide is the gate, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, Jesus is saying, many there be which go in. Matthew 7:13 says the same thing. And this is what Jesus said. Matthew 7:13, because you need to find two places in the Bible that's agreeing with each other. I like to find more than two. Matthew 7, 13 says, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life." This Christian life, it ain't an easy life. It's an impossible life. But with God, all things are possible. And it's a good life. Amen. It's the good life. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is there few? Because somebody's believing in Hare Krishna. Somebody's believing in Buddha.
Yeah.
The only way to this life is through Jesus Christ. That makes it difficult. There's only one way.
Yeah.
Not many ways, there's one way. And to those that don't want to believe that way, it's difficult for them.
Yeah.
Why not just make it easy? Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. That's what we're singing this morning too. This is because relatively few people are saved compared to the number that is lost. If you're a numbers person, God's will for people concerning salvation is not automatically coming to pass. God's will for our life will not automatically happen. We've got a part to play. Amen? If you are going on Broadway and you're applying for that actor's position, you're not just going to go up on the stage and just look pretty. Amen? You're not going to get the part. If you want to get the part, you got to play the part. You got to act the part. If we want to be the church that Jesus died for, we got to be the church that's in the book of Acts. We got to start acting like Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
Watch them recover in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Robert, in the name of Jesus. That's where the power is in the power, is in the name of Jesus. This is because the Lord gave us freedom to choose. This is why people are not automatically going to heaven. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Hell was not created for mankind. It was created for Lucifer and his demons. And that still is the purpose for hell. He paid the price. In other words, the devil wants you because he don't want to be lonely in hell. That's why he wants you. That's why hell is getting larger. But we ain't going down that gate. We ain't going through that gate. Amen. We're talking about the righteous here, those that believe God. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2, and that's also in 1 Timothy 4:10. But we must choose to put our faith in that promise, in Christ, and receive his salvation, his mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you. Let it stay in you. Amen. People are the one choosing hell. God's not choosing it for them. By not choosing Jesus as their Savior, that's a direct ticket to hell.
Yes.
You're born a sinner. You're born on your way to hell. But Jesus is going to set roadblocks across your path that say, one way, do not go that way. He's going to point out, it's going to have an up arrow. This is the way he's wanting you to go, roadblocks. When I'm talking about roadblocks, he's going to put other Christians across your life. He's going to put radio stations across your life, TV stations where you're going to be hearing that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He's living for you. He's praying for you. God's going to put people across your path that's going to show you the love of Christ. Many, many roadblocks. No one's going to stand before God wanting to say, nobody told me about Jesus. The heavens, even the heavens declare there is a God, that there is a creator. And I remember as a youngster looking up, believing in a God. Even though I was in hell on this earth with a daddy, abusive, alcoholic, I looked up knowing, praying to a God. I did not know how to pray in the name of Jesus, but I prayed to God and he heard my prayers because I prayed from my heart. I believed there was a God, and he was raising up Moses. He was raising up Delilah's prayer warriors praying for me. See, God's got a plan for you. It's a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. People, virtually, we have to climb over these obstacles. We have to get grenades and blow them out of our way and say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to go to camp meeting, Mama. I went last year. It's the same thing. It's hot, Mama. It's sweaty out there. They don't have air conditioning, Mama. Children's church, they feed us macaroni and cheese, Mama. I'm just giving you some experiences in my life with my kids. I like macaroni and cheese. Amen. But there's something more there than macaroni and cheese. There's people there that love you, that are teaching the Word, putting movies on this screen, that like Lisa does, that's covered and talking about the Word of God, and then the doors are open and food and popcorn is provided, but there's many that don't want to come to that gate. They want to go to the Broadway gate. They want to go and watch the movies that are not edifying and building you up and showing you how much God loves for you. That's why people are in the shape that they're in. In the mess that they're in, because they're not at the place wherein lies hope. Amen. And you got to virtually climb over and say no to Jesus and knock that roadblock out of your way that God puts in our way to continue on the course to hell. That's what you'd have to do. Yes. The cross of Christ and the drawing power of the Holy Ghost are obstacles that every sinner encounters. You can all picture in your mind right now friends and relatives that told you about God, how much He loves you, and He's going to help you through this situation. And God is sovereign. He never gives up on that, of putting people. He never gives up on you. You give up on yourself. We give up on ourselves. And God will give you, He stands by that right to let you go to hell if you want to. That's how sovereign He is, because He will not impose Himself on you, even though He loves you tremendously and has paid your ticket, our ticket. He will let you choose death. He told us, Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Now I'm going to choose death for you. No, that ain't what He said. He says, you choose. Amen. And He said, choose life. Choose the life that I'm going to... He was actually saying, choose the life I'm going to give you through my Son. That was kind of how it was kind of written in the Old Testament, because Jesus was going to be that life. But until then, they would do the law and their sins would be blotted out for a year. The year of atonement. God still had mercy in the Old Testament. I'm going to finish this page and then we'll close for the day. No one will ever be... And I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. No one will ever stand before God, the righteous judge of all the earth as He is, and be able to fault Him for withholding the opportunity to be saved. Never going to happen. Not one person going to happen. The Lord woos every person to Him, but we have to cooperate. Ultimately, the Lord simply enforces, He is the enforcer of His word. He cannot lie. If you choose death, He has to let you experience death, because you chose, not Him. It's His will that none perish, none suffer sickness, disease, poverty, calamity. That was from the very beginning, and He is the Lord. He changes not. He said, I bless you, Adam, Eve. He hasn't changed that. God has a perfect plan for every person's life. Jeremiah 29:11. We're familiar with it. God says, I know the plans I have for you, Michelle, Mark, Sherry, Ruthie, Sharon, Charles. He knows the plans. Now, why don't you know it? Amen. We're going to stop right there. That's a good place to stop. God knows the plans. Now, why don't we know it? If this was on TV, a little nice little commercial would come up. Be continued to next Sunday. Amen. Part two. But know it. I'd give you some examples of things to know. Know that God is for you. He's not against you. Amen. He is the author of life and not death. This would be the next thing coming on the screen. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and have Him on a horse, smiling with eyes of flame, coming for His church, for His bride. Come back next week. Amen. Come back next week. Don't wait that long. Go to Jesus anytime you need Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank You right now for this awesome service that You have orchestrated, not by Yourself. You used Your gifts today to orchestrate salvation, healing to the minds, healing in the bodies. Lord, hope for tomorrow, hope for the future. And Jack, one thing I forgot to say, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that Your children have a bright future. Sherry and her children and her husband have a bright future. And in the name of Jesus, that is going to happen. So, Father, we just thank You. And what we're saying, we're binding the power of darkness has no fellowship with light. So, Satan, you have no fellowship with Sherry right now. Your line is severed by the church of Jesus Christ. We speak that by faith right now, because we can bind you. We can't override Sherry's will, But Father, we thank you, Lord, you're going to help her with that because we know that she's born again. She's in the kingdom, and the kingdom of light has no fellowship with darkness. So Satan, you have no inroad right now into her life, into her soul, or into her body by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We charge Sherry, we charge her with hope, and we charge her with blessing. Lord, you blessed Sherry and said to her, have life. So we thank you for the God kind of life right now to Sherry and to God's people, to each one that have showed up today, Lord. Lord, we speak to cancer and we speak to visions that have died and that have died. We command them to rise now. Resurrection life to the visions that God has put on each one of his people. And to this nation, we see it great again. God's people expressing their praise and admiration for God and for morality in our nation. And we thank you for that, Lord, that we have the freedom here in this nation to serve you and to serve others. That, Lord, we serve you by serving others. And I thank you for a church right here that knows how to do that. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending those in that have not heard your word and rightly divided your word. Lord, those that are out there and confused and in darkness, Lord, we break the power of Satan off of them right now, Father. For those that are hungry and thirsting for the things of God, Lord, we let Holy Spirit guide them here by the way of internet, by the way of your people, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for doing the impossible. We thank you, Father God, for signs and wonders being a demonstration to the unbelievers. Signs in our lives of your miracle working power, of your healing power, bringing us out of places, Father God, so because of your grace, so they can be a witness to the unbelievers that there is a God. And we serve you. We serve him. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.